out and fill it out, and we'll connect with you, especially if you have prayer requests. If you'll turn it over on the back, you have a sealed place that you can put prayer, your prayer needs on those, and we do actually pray for those prayer needs. We'd love to pray for you and just ask that God would touch you and bless you in a tremendous way. You see two black boxes on our back wall back there. Those are the ways that we take up the offering here. We don't pass around a plate. Not that that's wrong. We don't believe that that's not wrong or anything. We just do it a little bit different way. We want you to give as the Lord compels you to give. And so we want to thank you so much for your giving here. Everything that we do here is because you guys give. And you're able to put those connection cards right there in those worship vessels on those back walls. So make sure you do that before you leave this morning, and we'll be able to connect with you and just encourage you even more as you walk with God. Speaking of giving, today, this is Hope Sunday. It's my favorite Sunday of the month. The last Sunday of every month, we give out bags of food for just to help those that need a little bit extra help to move into the new month. And so at the end of the service, you're welcome to get a bag of food for your family, one per family. And that's because this church gives. Because you give, we're able to do that. So thank you so much for doing that. And it's a real help and benefit for a lot of families. We tend to give out to these families, and this is just the thing that they depend on to help them move into the new month and help them get over the hump, so to speak. So thank you so much for that. Speaking of what God has been doing here, Tuesday night was incredible. If you don't know the whole story, just a quick recap. We had been praying about an outreach building to be able to kind of feed people during Thanksgiving. And I told you guys that would have to be a work of God. It would have to be a mounting, moving experience for us to be able to do that, because I thought there was just no way that that was going to be able to happen. Well, God made it happen. God moved some mountains. Amen. Come on, give him praise. It's okay. And Tuesday night, we had our very first ministry out of our new outreach building, and I hope more to come as we just continue to reach out to the hurting and the broken in this area. But why do we do that? Because we once were hurting and broken ourselves, and so we want to be a blessing to others. And so one of the ways we do that is with our shirts. We have new shirts here. I'm modeling that, but don't hold that against the shirt as I'm wearing it. On the back it says bring it. And what does that mean? Well, that means that when people ask you, what does that mean, bring it? Well, you can tell them you bring all your hurts and your pains to living water, and God will set you free, and Jesus loves you. And when you buy one of these shirts, they're $20 a piece. When you buy one of these shirts, all the money goes into our outreach building, and it goes to help provide food for those that are hurting and broken. So you guys are doing a great job in all of that. Speaking of the last Sunday of the month, we have five Sundays in this month, and we usually have the youth service on the fourth Sunday. But since we have five Sundays this month, we wanted to have something special just for our church people and for you guys that are here with us and your guests that you can bring tonight. We're going to be having some very important guests with us. James and Victoria Werneth are going to be here tonight, and these guys are mightily used by God. If you've never had like a prophetic word over your life, if you've never seen the healing being done, if you've never done that, you need to come tonight, because I promise you it's going to be tremendous tonight. I've seen God use this couple in amazing ways. They're going to be here tonight to minister to us as a church and bring all those that you want to bring with you tonight at 5 p.m. tonight. And that's going to be, no, we're not going to be having the amp used. They're just joining together with us together tonight. It's going to be really good. You don't want to miss that. And then Wednesday night, we move into December month. Our small group semester has officially ended. And I've heard great reports with all you guys in your small groups. Anybody been blessed through the small groups here? Amen, come on. And I'm so thankful for it. We use this little transition month in December. We're going to be starting new small groups, fresh start in January, where all of you guys can join in. But in this month, I'm going to be hosting a general small group here in the sanctuary on Wednesday nights at 6:30. And so please come out and just be a part of what God is doing with your pastor together. As I share with you personally from my heart, you'll hear more about that in just a moment. But I'm glad that you guys are here. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on this service. Father, I ask right now that you would just begin to open up our hearts to your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help me share this word the same way that you gave it to me. And I pray, Lord, that every heart would hear it and it would set hearts free. God, you know that's my desire. I care nothing about impressing people. Lord, I want people's lives changed. Lord, help us, God, to have a true revelation of who you are and the fire that you've given us through your son, Jesus Christ. I thank you so much for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. a new series this month about hashtag struggles, and we're talking about daily struggles that people face, and we're usually using that in the context of social media because social media seems to highlight a lot of these daily issues that we face. And if you don't mind me just for a moment, I'm going to take a selfie while I preach. I mean, how many pastors take a selfie while I preach? I'm going to look extra spiritual too, and I'm going to hold my Bible. I don't have the preacher's face. Okay, there's the preacher's face. We got it. All right, I'll post that later to make sure everybody knows I'm spiritual and I'm having a good time this morning. I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you're having a good time. We want to deal with these issues of struggles in the context of God's answer for us and God's solution for all the struggles that many people face. And I hope that you got something out of last week. If you weren't here last week, you're welcome to one of the free CDs over there on the table to help you as we deal with Thanksgiving and the enemy of Thanksgiving, comparison. How many of you guys had a good Thanksgiving this past week? Was it good? I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, not comparing your Thanksgivings with other people's Thanksgiving. I hope that you're able to enjoy what God has done for you. I had a wonderful Thanksgiving. But I'll just be honest with you, the week kind of started off kind of rough after preaching all morning here and then going to our community Thanksgiving service there and serving that night. I walked out to my car, and this is what I found on my car. If you'll put up the next picture, this is what I found. I found a flat tire on my car, and so I was having hashtag struggles. And so I took a picture. I took a picture of my struggle, and I posted it on Facebook and social media because I wanted everybody's sympathy. And I was really expecting you guys to go, oh, when you saw that picture, you know, because your pastor, you guys are a tough crowd, by the way. You're like, I wanted your sympathy of what some of the things that we face, you know, and I wanted you guys to go to, oh, the pastor preached all day, and he had a flat tire, and I had to change the flat tire, and, you know, and I kind of had this, poor Chris, thank you so much, whoever said that. I wanted your sympathy because when we all face struggles, we all want somebody to sympathize with us, don't we? Want somebody to say, oh, that's so poor Chris, I'm so sad you're going through this. You shouldn't have to, preacher. You shouldn't have to have a flat tire. That's just the devil. He came out there and put that nail in your tire. And you know, we want that sympathy. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with that sympathy, but it becomes wrong when all we're wanting is for our little pity parties to be solved and our little issues to work out. And it becomes more about me, 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 me. And I believe that's really the tactic of the enemy, is he's just kind of trying to overwhelm you with a little things. And I know some people face some of you guys are facing some big struggles out there. I understand that. You need our sympathy at times like that. But I'm talking about the little foxes that seem to spoil the vine. I'm talking about the little yeast worked into the dough, messing everything up. I'm talking about the day-ins and days. I'm talking about when you pull into Walmart on Black Friday and you can't find a parking spot. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the little things that just over and over again just kind of grate at your nerves. It just kind of get at you, the little flat tires, little issues. And we're like, why do I keep having to face these things? And maybe you know somebody. Maybe it's not you. Maybe you know somebody. If you get on social media, it seems like all their posts are negative. It seems like you want to ask them sometimes, has anything ever good happened to you? You know, if anybody ever have situations where you wonder, like, what? Why is all this bad stuff happening to me? And get this Eeyore mentality, doom, gloom, and it's just over and over again because it turns you, instead of outward, it turns you inward. And when you look in long enough, you'll find something to complain about, don't we? We all do. If you were to take a moment and you were to really look at your life, and especially if you compare yourself to other people, as we talked about last week, you would moan and complain constantly. And I'm not going to, you know, harp on this much, but we live in a generation, I believe, that just is getting enamored with this whole selfie-centeredness. This, oh, it's me, and I don't have this. And yeah, I understand people are dying of hunger in third parts of the country, but, you know, it's me, 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 me. And the truth is, guys, a selfie-centered life is a sad life. Isn't that true? A life that's always focused on me and what I don't have and what's going on and all the problems, because the truth is, and this would be a big A moment here, the truth is we all have struggles, don't we? And as long as we're on this earth, we're going to have struggles. And Jesus said that we're going to have many trials and many kinds, but take heart, I've come to give you peace, not as this world gives. And he's overcome the world. So what's the solution for us as followers of Christ? Or maybe you're not a follower of Christ, this is really going to kind of speak to you, I believe, because there's a solution to this selfie-centeredness that God has given us. But before we talk about the solution, we really have to examine what's really going on at the heart of this issue. In Revelation chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, you can turn along with me. If you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on the screen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 17. Jesus writes to some churches, and I believe this is relevant for us today. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, I know your works, or if I can elaborate on that for a moment. Maybe Jesus, if he was writing this today, he'd say, I've seen your Facebook post. I've seen your Instagram post. I've seen what you've been tweeting about. I've seen what you've been talking about. I know what your works are. I know what you're saying. I've seen that. And there's something wrong. He's telling the church, guys, I've seen it, and there's something wrong. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So that because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say I'm rich and I have prospered and I have need of nothing, not realizing that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, we might read that verse and say, well, Pastor, that doesn't relate to us because we're not rich and we have not prospered in every way. But I believe Jesus is highlighting on a core issue underneath all of that that even deals with us. Some of us are on the flip side of those issues. This church, at the day that they were at, notice what they were saying. I am rich. I have prospered. I need nothing. Not realizing that they needed a fresh touch of God in their lives. Not realizing that they needed God to turn them not inward, but outward. And I believe it's the same for us. That even though we might not have as much money as other people have, even though we might be facing legitimate struggles, if the problem is when we start becoming I, have you seen what I'm going through? Have you seen what I'm suffering? Oh, I know that they're having a hard time. But what about me? What about me? Me, I. All those issues is a selfie-centered life. And Jesus said, because of that selfishness, you have grown what? Lukewarm. You've gotten apathetic in your life. You've gotten to a place where you just don't care. Now, the church here, they had problems all around them that God wanted to use them to solve. If I could take it a step further, God has raised up his church to advance the gospel, but this church wasn't advancing the gospel any longer. They had gotten into the issue of just, it's me, it's all about me, we're okay, let's shut the doors, let's be comfortable. And Jesus takes real issue with people who think it's all about them. Now, we can debate about theology of what he really means when he says, I'll spit you out your mouth all day long. Can I just tell you something from this uneducated pastor? Whatever it means, I don't want to be spit out of the mouth of Jesus. Come on, somebody. I don't want to be spit out of the mouth of Jesus. I don't want to find myself lukewarm in my living, apathetic. He goes on to say in verse 19, those whom I love. Now, thank you, Jesus, for his love. Amen. How many guys are thankful for his love? Those I love, we may not like the net part, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Jesus is offering intimate fellowship with those who would submit to his discipline and his love and be zealous. Say zealous. That's something you don't hear about much any longer. You don't hear of people being zealous in heart, fired up about something in their lives. When people come into the church fired up, what do we tell them generally? Calm down, settle down. You need to settle down a little bit. You're kind of fired up. But can I tell you something? We need somebody to be fired up in church again. We need people to be fired up that there's something that's not right and something has to happen. Something's got to change. Something about my life has got to change. Something about this situation has got to change. Something about this community has got to change. But you won't be zealous about yourself. You won't have a selfish fire. You can't have a selfish fire. What God wants to give us is a fire that burns, that changes us so that we can change the community. Can I tell you, he saved you so you can be used to save others. He's helped you so that you can be used to help others. He's healed you so that you can be used to heal others. And if you're constantly thinking about self, you'll never see the need around you. You'll never see the thing that God has called you to ultimately in your life. You see, a selfie-centered life always leads to lukewarmness, apathy. And if comparison, I told you last week, comparison is a trap, and it really is a trap trying to kill your Thanksgiving. I want to tell you that apathy is out to kill your fire. Lukewarmness has come to take and snatch away the fire that God wants to give you in your heart. And apathy is like quicksand. Now, I've never been in quicksand, thank the Lord, but I've seen it on TV, so I'm an expert. And so what I've seen about TV, on quicksand and TV, is that the more people struggle in quicksand, what happens? The more they begin to sink. And that's the way it is about apathy. The more you say, I got to fix these issues. I want somebody to fix my tire. I want this. I don't have enough money for this, or I don't this. And the more you struggle about self, the more you do what? The more you sink. The more you sink. It's just how it is. And when I turn my attention towards my problems seem to magnify. But if you turn your attention to God, guess what happens? God gets bigger and my problems get smaller. Right? And so that's what the Bible is telling us, is that we got to turn our hearts back to Christ. We've got to understand He's at the door of our hearts knocking. We've got to turn our attention back to Him. So we're going to deal with our struggles, and we're just going to deal with struggles in a general way. That God wants us to have a passionate life with Him. And we've got to deal with the issue of apathy, because we all have the tendency to want to get comfortable. I mean, what's the first thing you want to do when you get home from work? You want to kick your shoes off. If you're like me, I've got an old lazy boy that I plop the feet up. My wife knows when I get home because the chair goes up. There I am. You want to get comfortable. Now, yeah, comfortable, enjoying life is okay. It's all right to do that. God has created you. Listen, God has created you to enjoy life. That might be shocking for some of you to hear from a pastor, because maybe you've grown up in a church where it seemed like the pastor told you that there's the last thing you can do about life is enjoy life. And I understand that some of us, listen, we need to realize that there is a heaven, a real heaven to experience. And this is not supposed to be heaven. It's not supposed to be perfect here. But God has left me here. And while He's left me here, I am called to enjoy life here. Now, the issue is, how do I enjoy it? Do I enjoy it in a selfish way, worldly way, that doesn't lead to joy after all? Or can I enjoy it in a God-centered way? You see, Jesus tells us that He's come to give life, and life what? That sounds like enjoying life, doesn't it? And so we want to learn, how do we really enjoy life? How do we really enjoy life? Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Paul tells us here, he says, in all things, say in all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul's reminding the church. He's reminding us. He's like, you remember what Jesus said? He said, it's more blessed. You'll have more. What does that word blessed mean? More joy, more happiness. When you live and giving and serving God and helping other people, you'll be more happy. You'll enjoy life if you live by God's purpose to help other people. But if you live your life, give, you won't be happy as those who serve God and serve other people. That's what he's saying. And Paul is saying in all things. Now, Paul faced all things. If you don't know about Paul's life, he faced a lot of ups and downs. He faced all things. I don't think there's anything that any of you guys or any of me that can are facing that Paul didn't face. He knew what it was to be well fed and lack and to be beat and have be the head of everything and be the least of everything. He knew what it meant. He said, in all things, I was trying to show you that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Paul said, I found the joy. I found the joy where joy really comes from, and it's the joy, listen to me, the joy is in the serve, not in the selfie. The joy is in the serve, not in the selfie. God wants you to find joy, but He wants you to find lasting joy, not temporary joy, right? It's like kids at Christmas. I mean, they've been wanting that thing all year, and they open it up, and they take it out of the box, and what they wanted so bad is it doesn't live up to their expectations. You ever have a gift like that? You ever pay for a gift like that? Ain't that depressing? He's like, oh, I just want it. And then they don't play with it again after that day. They play with a box, or they play with a wrapping paper or something like that. And God says, I don't want you to have that type of joy. I want you to have a joy that lasts. And let me tell you something. I wouldn't take anything of this world for the joy that I have by serving God and serving other people. It lasts. And the devil can't take it away from me. He can take my car. That's okay. He can't take my joy. He can't take my joy because I found the joy is in the serve. Now, to have this realization, you need vision. You need an eye-opening experience. That's what Jesus was saying to the church in Revelation chapter 3. I wish that you were either hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. You're apathetic. You've kind of got the glazed over look. One part of the Bible says that the church had just become like a sleeping giant, just asleep and just kind of dead. You just need this eye-opening moment. You just, I see what needs to happen. You need to have a vision for your life. Listen to me, every one of you. You need to have a vision for your life. You need to have an eye-opening experience. You know what? I believe God has something more for me. And this is not the end of it. This is not the end of it. I believe God wants to do something in me to do it through me. I need a vision for my life. And if you don't have a vision, you're going to perish. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. What does that mean? That when you don't have a vision for your life, you'll just live your life for anything. You'll just live your life for the next selfie. Whatever else pleases you at that moment. But he says people who have vision, people who hold on to that. Now listen, prophetic vision. What does that mean? God's going to take me somewhere. God's got something for my future. You'll keep your life grounded. And like it's like a train riding on railroad tracks. Now, I've never seen a train not ride on railroad tracks, but if a train was moving that wasn't on railroad tracks, I'm getting out of the way. And you know what happens to a train that's not on railroad tracks that's moving? A train wreck. And you've been wondering why your life is a train wreck. You need the railroad track. You need the guardrails in your life that guides you in your life, and you need to know, I don't do that because I've got prophetic vision in my life. No, I don't go over there any longer because I've got prophetic vision in my life. No, I don't waste my money on that any longer because I've got prophetic vision in my life. Right? And when you don't have vision, your life will be a train wreck. It goes on to say in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. You know what a city is without walls? It's you just come and take what you want. You just come and get what you want. Nobody's here to stop you. You can just do whatever you want to me. And you've been wondering why the devil's just wreaking havoc in your life. He's wreaking havoc in your life because you don't have walls up, vision up, where you can say to him, no, resist the devil, he and flee. But when's the last time you resisted the devil? If you don't have vision, you're not going to resist the devil. You're not going to live with purpose. You need walls. You need vision in your life. Now listen, I've been praying hard about this message. And I knew that there was something missing. I knew that there was something more that God was wanting to say. And even as a leader, I understand the importance of vision. I've preached on vision. I've talked about vision. I try to cast vision constantly. I understand as a leader, vision is the most important thing that a leader has in his tool belt. But I was asking God the other day in prayer, I said, God, what comes before vision? Because I'm trying to tell these people to have vision, but I don't know if they have the thing that comes before vision. And by the way, God, what is that? Because I don't know what that is. And I believe the Lord spoke to me very clearly in prayer time. I'm going to share with you what he told me the answer was. Before vision comes a holy discontentment. A holy discontentment. Just this, you know what? I don't like what's going on right now, and things have to change. You know what? I'm tired of my life being a train wreck. I'm tired of being sad. I'm tired of being selfish. I'm tired of wasting I'm tired of going with that crowd. I knew I told myself I wouldn't go with them. I knew what was going to happen. I knew I was going to regret it. I'm tired of it. Just a holy discontentment in your life. A burning in your life to say, you know what, things just have to change. Now, when I was a little kid, one of the cartoons that would come on as a rerun on Saturday mornings, anybody know about Saturday morning cartoons, by the way? Saturday morning cartoons, one of the reruns that would come on Saturday mornings was Popeye the Sailor Man. Anybody remember Popeye? Popeye the Sailor Man. Now, Popeye was just an ordinary guy, and the problem with Popeye is he had a very attractive girlfriend. Do you remember her name? Olive oil. She was a real looker, wasn't she? And Brutus or whoever the bad guy was would come and take olive oil away from Popeye, and olive oil would start crying out, "Oh no, Popeye, help me, Popeye." That's my best olive oil voice, by the way. "Popeye, help me, help me, help me, help me, Popeye, help me." And what would Popeye do? At first he'd be like, oh, he'd be twiddling his tongue. I don't know, Brutus is really big, I'm small. What happened when Popeye ate spinach? You remember what happened? His muscles got stronger and he was able to overtake the enemy and take the olive oil back. But before he took the spinach, do you remember what happened? God just brought it back up to mirror. He would say something. He would say, eventually after taking all he could take, he would say, "I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more." You know what I'm talking about. I can't stand no more. And then he would pop the can of spinach, and he would eat it, and he'd become the hero and save olive oil back. You know what? I just believe that's what God means by holy discontentment. I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. Have you ever had a moment like that in your life? You ever have a moment where you've just been pushed back into a corner, but you didn't know what was about to come out? Come on, somebody. The enemy thought that you were pushed over, but he got you back in a corner, and something happened. Something snapped. You had all you can stand, and you can't stands no more, and something happened. A fire started burning, and a vision happens, like something's got to change. It's all throughout Scripture. If you remember the story of Moses was raised up in Pharaoh's house, but he knew he was a Hebrew, and he saw his fellow brother Hebrews being whipped and beaten as slaves. And one day he was standing out there watching a taskmaster beat his brother Hebrew to the point of death, probably. And something snapped inside of Moses. And he said, "I've had all I can stand. I can't stand no more." And he went over there and eventually even killed the taskmaster. He shouldn't have done that. But he reached a point. He reached a point where he couldn't stand no more. And you remember what happened when Moses went off into the desert. God had a bush burning. And he said, "Moses, come to me. I saw what was going on in your heart." And he said, "Moses," I'm just paraphrasing here, "Moses, I can't stand it either. I can't stand it. I'm going to use you to set my people up." The Bible says that God said that he heard the cries of his people and he couldn't stand it any longer. And God is looking to partner with people who can't stand something any longer. Just a holy discontentment. Think about the story of David. Think about David's life. David was just a little teenage boy, all you teenagers. Nothing was supposed to amount to him. And he went out to take food to his brothers out fighting the Philistines. And he got out there, instead of seeing the Israelites overtaking the Philistines, what did he find? He found nobody fighting. Everybody was hiding in tents. And here was this giant Philistine out taunting the people of God, calling them names and calling God names. And David said, "Who is this Philistine to mock my God and God's people?" And everybody said, "Oh, David, just get back in the tent. He's a giant. You can't do anything about this. Leave this fighting to the men." But David said, "I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more." And he runs out to face the giant with just a slingshot and takes him down. Come on, somebody. You just never know the power of somebody that just has a holy discontentment. You'll be able to see things other people just can't see. You'll go places other people just won't go. The lukewarm people hide in tents. But God is looking for fiery people, zealous people, who's had all they can stand, and they can't stand no more. And vision happens. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, I keep going back to the story of Nehemiah all throughout my life. Nehemiah has just been something God just keeps bringing me back to over and over again. If you remember about the story of Nehemiah, he was just a cupbearer. He was in exile to a king who overtook the God's people, and here he was just serving this exiled king. He was just a cupbearer, and he asked one of his fellow Jews who had been to Jerusalem, his hometown, "Tell me about Jerusalem." And they reported to him, Nehemiah, it's not good. The walls are broken down. Everybody's just able to come in here and take what they want and do whatever they want. There's no nation any longer. Everybody's in despair. And at the sight of this, at the thought of this, the Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 1 that Nehemiah fell to his knees and cried out in prayer, a prayer of discontentment. And he cries out, oh God, something has to change. Something has to change. And God says, yes, it does. I can't stand it no more. And Nehemiah says, I can't stand it no more. And God says, I'll use you then, Nehemiah. I'll use you. And if you read your Bibles, God used Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall in 52 days. Unheard of. You can't even get modern technology to do that. Just why? Why? How did that happen? He just got to a place where he's taken all he can stand, and he can't stand no more. How about you? Are you asleep? Are you awake? Are you hot or cold? Are you apathetic? Are you lukewarm? Is there things in your life that's been in your life for so long? At one time, maybe you said, I don't want that there, and I can't stand it to be there, but now you just thought it's just a part of you. Now you've just kind of left in your life. Is there things around you that you thought, you know what? Somebody should do something about that. Well, what if that somebody is you? What if God is burning a holy discontentment? Have you ever wondered why there's just something inside of you that makes you more compassionate about certain areas that other people are? You even try to share that with other people, and they're like, well, I never thought about that before. But it's burning inside of you. Is there something that there's just a holy discontentment? And you know what? The devil has tried his best just to put it out. But underneath all that lukewarmness, there's just a little fire still burning. And if you just let it out, you'll have a Popeye moment. Something will happen. Something will happen. I remember in my life, back when I was leaving high school and moving to college, I knew I was gave my heart to the Lord. I had what I call a radical conversion. And I knew that there was some addictions in my life before Christ that just should stop. And most of them did, but there was one. There was this one. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There was this one that just seemed to have my number. Come on, I ain't the only one. You know what I'm talking about? It had my number, man. And I knew it needed to stop. I knew it was keeping me from enjoying the life that God had called me to enjoy. I knew it was keeping me from stepping fully into my purpose. I knew. Because every time I would try to step out in full obedience, this issue would keep pulling me back. Like it was just choking the life out of me. And I knew it was a sin addiction. I knew it was. Here I was in college, and I'd heard sermons about how to be broke free, how to this and that, but I'll never forget what one of the guys I really looked up to. He said, Chris, it's not going to leave your life until you get tired of it. Until you get tired of it. And I just began to pray. It's like, oh, God, make me tired of my sin. Make me tired of it. And I, to be honest with you, I don't know. Nobody told me to do it. I didn't know what deliverance was. I didn't know anything. But God's okay with that, by the way. He's all right. He don't have to know it all. And it was spring break. Everybody else was leaving in my dorm. But I called my parents. I was like, I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, I'm not coming home from spring break. I told them I had some more studying. Yeah, I lied to deal with my sin. I'm still praying about that. So I told them I got some more studying to do, but I knew that this was my moment. And so everybody else in my dorm or my hallway was gone. It was just me. It was just me there. And for 3 days, I sweated and prayed until I got to the moment where I was like, I've had all I can stand of this. I can't stand no more. And I cried out to God. And I'm telling you, for about 5 hours in my dorm room, sweat, prayer, tears, something happened, because I left out of that dorm room different. I haven't struggled with that since. What happened, Pastor? I had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. You see, God loves to partner with people who just says, I've got to have you. I remember as I later went to seminary studying about pastoral work and theology and all that stuff, and hearing people talk about church, and even my own experience of church, I saw church as normal in America, and I didn't like it, because everybody seemed sadder in church than they were out of church. And I said, something's wrong with that, and people didn't seem like their lives were changing. It didn't seem right. And And, you know, I was from a Pentecostal background, and all the things that I had saw of the Pentecostal background in the church that I was at, and I'm not speaking bad at my church, it's just what I saw. It was just have a great time on Sunday, but then live, you know, like a hellion Monday through Saturday. And I was like, this is not right. Something's just not right. And I remember sitting in one of my first theology classes, pastoral study classes, and hearing systematic theology and having a pencil in my hands and praying about this and hearing all this stuff. And it was just this high church mentality. And my pencil snapped in my hand and something snapped in my heart because I had had all I can stand and I can't stand no more. I said, God, I want something real. I want something real. And God, if you call me to pastor church, I got a pastor church that's real too. I've had all I can stand for this. I remember this really came to a blow when I was supply pastoring at a church. This was like more of a high church. And everybody, you know, sat there and looked at me like I had something strange on my face. I kept wiping my face thinking that there was something on me, but they just looked like that, I guess, when they sit in pews. And so they looked at that, and then afterwards I was having to say, did a polite thing, you know, nice, say hey to everybody, goodbye, and all of that. And afterwards I went back to the study, and I just fell down on my knees, and I said, God, please tell me you didn't call me to this. I've had all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. That's when he told me, Chris, I'll use that. I want something to be different too, but I can't stand for it anymore. You know, what about the injustice that we see? What about the things that you see that you know that shouldn't be going on? What about the so-called Christians who talk bad about others? What about the racial issues? What about all the homelessness and all the poverty? Is there something burning inside of you that says, I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more? Before vision comes a holy discontentment. Fiery heart. God gives a revelation vision. When you have that, it leads to a life of enjoyment. Can I tell you something? I'm so thankful that I heard Jesus knocking at the door of my heart and saying, Chris, is there something that's burning inside of you? If there is, I'm a partner. I'm a partner. And enjoy it. Enjoy it. Now, do I still have flat tires? I still have flat tires. Do you still have issues? Yeah, we still got issues. Do you still lack sometimes? Sometimes, yeah. Can I tell you something? I wouldn't trade anything for it, though. The enjoyment, because it really is more blessed to give than to receive. And let me just tell you something. The adventure you have with God. I mean, the adventure you have with God is incredible. Just take the outreach building, for instance. I knew God had called us to have an outreach building. And before God gave us that building, we don't have the money to do it. I guess we just can't right now. And using that as an excuse. They're like, well, just can't right now. And it's finally through prayer, God's burning my heart and said, I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing all the issues. I'm tired of seeing all the struggles. I'm tired of seeing this community dying and going to hell. I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. Got to do something. Step out there. And guess what? God helps you to walk on water. So what is it about you? What is it? What is it that's burning inside of your heart? It said, I have had all I can stand to this. I can't stand no more. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. And then we'll close. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. Everybody wants the verse 20. Jesus, he's here, he's eating with me. Me and Jesus, we buddies, we're cool, everything's great. But Jesus said, to have the knock on your door, you've got to get settled. You've got to repent. You've got to turn from and turn towards. You've got to say, I've had enough of this. I've had all I can stand. I can't stand no more. So let me give you a few steps, three steps quickly. Can you accept that the shaking that you're feeling right now is God's love for you? Can you accept that? Accept that the issues that are going on in your life, maybe God is trying to get your attention. Maybe God is trying to wake you up. Maybe God is telling you, you know what, you're supposed to be uncomfortable. You're in the wilderness. It's time for you to move on. It's time for you to move further in your life. Accept that he loves you. Remember what Jesus says? To those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. He loves you. Thank God he hasn't left us in our struggles, left us in the quicksand. He's trying to wake us up. He's trying to wake us up because he loves us. Number two, turn. Turn from apathy to purpose. Get to the point where you can't stand apathy any longer. I just honestly, in my life, there's stages in my life I have to turn my heart to this issue. And I found myself just here recently getting apathetic about ministry. Just going through the motions. And I caught myself. The Holy Spirit helped me catch myself. And I said, oh, wait a minute. Something's not right. Now, look, there was no major sin going on. But let me tell you, what comes after apathy is major sin. And so I was like, I can't do that. And so you just get into God and pray. God, set my heart back on fire. Set my heart back on fire. Let me turn to you. You're the joy of my life. It's a joy to serve you. God, fire me back up for you. Fight apathy. Fight the every desire to be complacent and lukewarmness. Fight it because it'll steal the joy out of your life. Come to steal it. Number three, enjoy the journey with Jesus. Can I let you in on a clue? It's okay to have fun in church. It's okay to enjoy what God is doing in your life. Look, stop letting people tell you, oh, you can't talk about Jesus like that. That's just for some, that's just private. You're supposed to talk about him back. No, go tell everybody. Be excited about it. I mean, goodness gracious, if people can act like craziness about a football team, surely you can be excited about Jesus. Right? And I love football, but man, I love Jesus. Get excited. Look, enjoy it. Look, when you come to worship, have fun. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Jump in with both feet. Enjoy it. Why do I say that? Because somewhere along the way, the devil has told you that all the joy is out there. That's not right. That's not right. And I'm sorry if any pastor or church has convinced you that all the sinners have fun and all the saints are miserable. That's ridiculous. Look, here's the problem. It's not that worldly people are enjoying life. It's that they're enjoying too little of life. Look, I know what it once was to get drunk and have a party. And yeah, at a moment it seemed fun. But can I tell you something? It's nothing compared to a Holy Ghost party. Come on, somebody. It's nothing compared to it. And so I don't stand up from the pulpit and tell people, oh, stop that. Oh, stop that. Stop doing that. You need to stop doing that. You know what I tell people? Come and taste and see the Lord. Come and see how beautiful and how wonderful he is. Come see how amazing he is. And then people turn around, well, look, that's much better than this. When you get a taste of prime rib, you won't go back to that ugly beef jerky any longer. Come on, somebody. You need to enjoy Jesus again. Have fun with Jesus again. Have fun. Have fun. Have fun. Have fun. I'm tired of the world having the fun. I want us as a church to have fun. We're going to have a lot of fun here. Can you help me have a lot of fun here? I'm just going to have fun in Jesus. Now, what about you? Is there something burning in your heart? Is there something that long ago, I really felt like this, there'd be some here this morning, that long ago God had a fire burning about something, but life happened. struggles came, and it's choked the vision out of what was burning in your own heart. You know what? This morning, it needs to get fired back up. It does. Will you bow your heads with me? Thank you, Jesus. Just let the Holy Spirit move right now. He is quickening hearts. He is burning inside of you. He is bringing back into remembrance some things long forgot because of the little struggles in life. Just put out your fire. It's time. It's time to repent and be zealous. And Jesus said he's at the door and he's knocking. He's here, church. He's here. I would like to know just who in particular this sermon was for, so I can pray for you. If you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, something's burning in my heart. Things have to change. I've had all I can stand and I can't stand anymore. There's sin that has to be removed. There's more life to experience. There's ministry. I really feel like there's ministries right here in this little group of people that are going to change the whole community and world. It's going to happen from a little fire, a holy discontentment that just says, I've had all I can stand. And I can't stand. If that's you this morning, if God is just speaking to you across the board, if God is speaking to you, just raise your hand. I just need to know who this is. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, let me pray for you. So, Lord, I pray right now. Lord, especially those who need to get their hearts right with you. Lord, you tell us that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray, God, that as they just bear their hearts to you right now, Lord, that they would experience your forgiveness and they would hear your knock at the door of their heart. And Lord, that they would turn away, just as I have had to do so many times in my life, turn away from apathy, turn away from just being comfortable in a selfie-centered life, and turn to, Lord, a life that's Christ-centered, not self-centered. Lord, I pray, God, that they would make that turn in their hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can. I've tried my best to serve you this morning by sharing your word. But Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can change hearts. So change hearts. Set hearts on fire. Let them burn. Let them burn to where they know that they're not going to be comfortable until they take a step that they need to take. And Lord, some of them need to go back to their homes and back to their friends and just say, you know what, I'm sorry, I can't go with you any longer. I can't do this any longer. I'm making a change. Something has got to change. I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. Some of them, God, they need to go back to their cupboards and pour out all that stuff that's been holding them down. Some of them, God, they need to tear up those credit cards or those issues that are getting them so much trouble. Others, God, they need to make a strong move, God, and they need to confess to their loved one what it is that they've been doing. Why? Because they just had all they can stand, and they can't stand no more. Something has got to change. Something's got to change. Others, God, this morning, I believe others need to stop letting themselves be lied to that they're not good enough to serve you, and they need to step out in obedience right now. They need to give their lives to you and to say, God, I don't know what I can do, but I've seen all I can stand about this issue, and I want to be used by you to make a difference. I need to give your heart to you right now. Holy Spirit, just begin to work, my friend. In Jesus' name, will you stand on your feet with me? Before we close, can we sing this song together? Just as worship and our response to the Holy Spirit let him move in our lives. Can you just give me 5 more minutes this morning? Holy Spirit's moving. Holy Spirit's moving. Let him move in your hearts this morning.
your shattered humanity. Death now overcome, forgiven all in one. You've redeemed all humanity. With all our lives we now stand, declaring loud that Jesus is God who saves. Commission my soul with the fire, uncontrollable for this great cause. Save the lost, open the earth.